Well, ladies and gentlemen, since Tom Cruise's epic masterpiece, The Mummy, couldn't seem to raise the dead, we decided to cleanse your palate this week with the 1999 classic starring Encino Man himself, The Mummy!
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Guilty Movie Pleasure.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not even doing a dance anymore. This is just my cardio for the week.
My arms are tired. I'm just gonna be, usually I
calisthenic
do that,
shake weights.
I do that.
Isn't that what calisthenics are when you do like your own body weight?
You're asking the wrong guy.
You used to do P90X,
yeah,
I remember.
Yep, I specifically that though. I don't know what calisthenics
we did
means.
Like, I remember we were doing sketch comedy back in the day, and you would come with like these pre-made, super healthy meals, and I was like, God damn.
Well, okay, meals is very generous.
Yeah.
It was not, it was just
like a snack.
A combination of stuff that I was allowed to eat, put in a bowl.
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't like a cohesive meal. It was just like stuff.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Anyways, we're just going to talk about diet plans with extreme workouts.
Specifically mine.
Yeah. All right.
I'm just going to retweet this real quick. There we go.
Guilty Movie Pleasure fans, we are back this week. I am at the Ben Begley on Twitter. Ben Begley, your host. And over here, we got Jesse McIntosh.
Hi there, folks. At Too Much Jesse.
I feel like we should start doing that. Now, I know that's like the typical thing you're supposed to do, and
you know
I never remember.
We should have like stuff that we do.
You know, maybe.
I don't know. Like we should at least have an outline of stuff. I don't know. Just throwing it out there, just a thought.
Our show is so loose, it's barely a show sometimes.
Can I be honest with the viewers? I'm not wearing pants half the time.
There you go.
That's real.
I'm not wearing socks at least one out of the times we've recorded.
Sometimes
this.
I wear one sock.
Sometimes. So we're talking about I was trying really hard to go see the Tom Cruise Mummy movie before this week, and I did not get a chance to. But I've heard nothing but terrible things. Okay, hold on. My wife is texting me. Yep, we're sleep training my daughter, so she's updating me on her naps.
Nice.
We could talk about my daughter's nap schedule and your exercise instead of the movie today and your meal plans. Perfect. No, but I didn't get a chance to see it, but the overwhelming response from fans and critics alike is that it... it's not good.
Not great.
A lot of people are just saying it's not terrible, it's just meh. And that's not worth the price of admission anymore. You got to do better than meh.
I honestly haven't heard anyone say that they enjoyed it for any reason.
Yeah.
Like, no one has said, like, it wasn't great, but I really liked this part.
Yeah.
No one has even said
the
that.
The only
it's
thing I've heard
sort
is
of
that
a unanimous, eh.
The female mummy I heard is cool, but that's it.
That's real specific.
That's it. Like, I heard they're like, the villain's cool.
Yeah.
But yeah,
it's
I just
gonna bring me out.
When I saw the trailer, I remember being like, when it started, I was like, ooh, what is this? And then I was like, oh, it's a mummy movie? Why the fuck is Tom Cruise in this? And I remember watching the trailer over and over again, trying to convince myself I was going to like it and be like, it looks not good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, they're trying to start like an Avengers universe of monsters.
Right. So this is sort of like, I heard for anyone who watches or who listens to, pardon me, the Watch podcast, this is, they're making this, this particular point. What happens to you?
Coffee's terrible.
Oh.
I feel like I just drank dumpster coffee.
I mean, don't let me interrupt.
Sorry, keep going.
No.
It's like the third time I've done that to you where you're like mid-thought and something happens to me and I'm like, like I said, we're barely a show. Continue.
That was actually the only moment we have outlined for today. Was me
3 minutes in
to say something and Ben going,
I'm gonna put that over there.
And me like now sort of subconsciously thinking he was reacting to me for the rest of the show and be like, was that a and then he played it off for the coffee. But they were making the point that like there's now becoming sort of a trend where like movie stars aren't selling films nearly as much, and the product is selling, so mm-hmm. the name recognition of the franchise is selling.
Yeah.
So you were talking about Baywatch before we got started. And
I saw that today. My father-in-law wanted to go, and I love The Rock. And I like Zac Efron a lot, and the whole cast I really enjoy. Mm-hmm. Fucking hated that movie.
I love The Beach.
I love the Baywatch 90s show. I'm still reeling from how I laughed 4 times in that movie.
Right, so, but the basic point there was that, like,
the IP.
Yeah, the property. Because, like, what Baywatch did with the film isn't at all what the television show was and what people are used to, but they wanted this
Buddy Lifeguard
movie, and they used Baywatch to sell the film.
Like, Chips came out, too.
Everything
is just, like,
exactly.
Hollywood's just constantly looking for IPs to be like, hey, you've seen this before, go see it again.
Right, so it sort of feels like that's what happened with Tom Cruise's The Mummy, because, and I... also didn't see it in theater. I didn't even try to see it. I didn't have good intentions. I was just like, I'm out.
Nope.
But
I'll probably see it.
But having seen this, it just seems tonally like a totally different franchise. It just it doesn't seem the same at all.
Well, it's
it
not supposed
way more
to be
serious, right? Yeah. But why? Like, if then make it something else. You know what I mean? Tom Cruise in action movie sells films to me. Like, yeah, there's a proven track record.
I fucking love Tom Cruise.
Absolutely.
I know he's kind of wacko in real life, but yeah, I've also heard he's a nice dude, his crazy other Scientology stuff aside,
right,
you know, but I've heard he's a nice dude. I know people who've worked with him who've said he's just an incredibly gracious person. I can't think of a movie other than maybe Jack Reacher I didn't really get into, but like Edge of Tomorrow's fantastic. Like, there's so many good movies he's come out. The Mission Impossible movies are fucking awesome.
They're great.
And so I was like, oh, maybe this will be a fun action horror thing. And yeah, it just sounds like a train wreck.
So just sell a Tom Cruise Back from the Dead movie. And like,
yes,
then I would be much more
interested.
Make
a Tom Cruise zombie movie, which is what I've heard this movie is, basically.
Yeah, so there you
go. Anyways, we're talking about The Mummy from 1999. Brendan Fraser, Encino Man himself. My two top Brendan Fraser movies are this. And in fact, I think the only two I actually like.
Hmm.
Now I'm going to have to go back through his IMDb and tweet out
School Ties?
George of the Jungle.
Ties?
Yeah, he was in School Ties.
That was not bad.
It was not bad.
George of the Jungle, yeah, you mentioned. Crash, we talked about last week after the show.
Crash, as what I like to call, it's racism for dummies. It's like the way to make people with white privilege watch a movie and go, I understand racism now. I get it.
Before
Thank
this film,
you, Paul Haggis.
I didn't realize there was racism. This blows my mind.
There are so many far better films than Crash. And anyway, so that's we're barely a show.
It's the only time that you can see Brendan Fraser and Ludacris in the same film. So
that I know of. So this movie, I remember seeing it in theaters and thinking it was a blast. It felt, I believe Tony Morrow was saying on Twitter, I think it was Tony. If not, I'm sorry. But I'm pretty sure it was Tony who was saying that it's like an Indiana Jones movie. It's like the best Indiana Jones movie since The Last Crusade. And it's definitely better than Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. I fucking love this movie. I remember seeing the second one and thinking it was too shitty CGI, and I never saw the third one. I never saw Scorpion King. So I don't know. I don't have a frame of reference, but this movie's awesome. You've never seen it, though.
I had never seen it. No.
What was your, like, how did it live up, and how did it, age well?
So, yeah, it was a very, like, mindless watch for me. And we'll see when we get into the plot, like, how much I was able to retain.
Yeah.
Because I actually watched it on the tail of, like, having to wake up because my dog diarrheaed all over our house.
Oh, perfect.
So I was like a little bit groggy when I was watching it. So just for the image out there, I hope you guys are eating dinner while you listen or watch.
Yeah, right. Mmm, dog shit. Yeah.
But no, it's like, it's got a really fun, like campy sort of like romp vibe.
Yeah. But we're talking not too campy.
Yeah.
It never gets so dumb where you're like, oh, come on. Which a lot of movies nowadays, if they try and be campy, they push it. I'm trying to think of an example recently that has this kind of tone. And by the end of the show, I will think of something. But there's like...
Edge of my seat.
Action movies now are either too serious or too goofy. And I think that this really strikes a great balance of having some genuine kind of creepy mummy moments and some horror elements with some really funny stuff. And just that opening scene with Rachel Weisz where she's in the library and you tweeted out how you're so concerned for the library.
Well, yeah. So I couldn't stop thinking about it while I was watching the rest of the movie. I was like, who cleaned up this library? A.
Yeah.
B, the like head librarian who turned out to be
one of the
like,
Magi.
Yeah. He dies.
Yeah.
And as far as I can tell, he and she were the only two employees of this library.
And the only two patrons, too.
Right, like, exactly. And now he's dead, and she's a celebrity. So, like, who cares enough about this library to resurrect its glory? It was on the top of my mind the whole
time. We'll get into that. And let's do the plot in under 3 minutes first.
All right.
And then we're going to roll into some fun stuff and some sound clips. But plot in under 3 minutes. Are we ready in the booth? It looks like it. Okay.
Ooh.
In 3, 2, 1. So we have this intro with Imhotep and Anaximarun. I think that's a candy bar. Anyways, he's in love with the pharaoh's wife. They're having an affair. The pharaoh finds out. He gets pissed. They murder him Julius Caesar style. And then she gets taken away and killed. And then he goes to take her and resurrect her. And then the pharaoh's bodyguards show up out of nowhere like they were there the whole time. And they're like, ha-ha, we're going to kill you too. And he gets this curse that's like the worst curse ever, but also makes him the most powerful like mummy spirit ever for some reason.
Yeah, we're gonna like contain you unless you become uncontained, and
then
we're
you're the worst
fucked.
Evil ever. Yeah, yeah, it doesn't make any sense. And then we cut to the present day in Cairo. Boom.
Okay, so Brendan Fraser is with a group of people who are invading
French,
this place.
The French army, I think.
Maybe. It's unclear to me. But they're invading. And
lots
we don't,
of accents.
We don't really know why. There's just like shooting. And he's shooting people who turned out to later be on their side. And yeah. So that was a little bit of a cluster. Yeah. But then, okay, so then he gets run out of there. And then Rachel Weisz is in the library and the library columns fall down.
Which your most devastating moment.
That's
you
where
love books.
That's where I lost the plot right there. Take it away, Ben.
Okay, so then we're introduced to the fact that she has found out that there's the City of the Dead is what she wants to go find. They find this key, her brother who's this drunk who wants to go find treasure. They find out that it's this guy who was in town who punched her brother, and it turns out to be Brendan Fraser. He's now long-haired. It's 3 years later. He's kind of a rapscallion now. He's a drunkard. And they hang him, and while he's hanging, she talks to, I called him... Middle Eastern Charlie Day is what I guess he sounds just like Charlie Day with sure. an accent. And she convinces him to free Brendan Fraser right before he dies. He has a superhuman neck strength. We'll get into that.
Yep.
Frees him. They all go on this journey. They get on a boat with these Americans and this other British dude. And then the Majahid come and attack. And it's that dude that's in every movie, the ethnically ambiguous yep. dude who plays everything yep. in Resident Evil, whatever. They show up. They kill a bunch of people. They escape. They get on. You're on the wrong side okay. of the river, yep. Benny. Your turn.
And so, okay. So then they go. They steal some camels, or they buy some camels, yep. and the camels outrace the horses to the city.
Sort of somehow,
I guess. And then they get to the city, and they're like digging around, and then they find a book, and they say the spell that they weren't supposed to say. And then the mummy comes alive.
They run the fuck out of
but
there.
But the mummy is not fully formed yet, so they can scare the mummy with a cat. And then
they go back to Cairo for a brief stint. Mummy comes, starts fully regenerating. And then there's like they have all these hordes of people that have boils now that are his slaves. They end up going. He kidnaps her to then resurrect his lost love. They go back to the temple. I'm gonna let you take it
oh
away.
Boy,
yeah, there you go. Throwing you under the bus.
No, shit.
They go back to the temple.
Yeah, they go back to the temple and Brendan
Fraser fights a bunch of mummies, yeah. And then they save her right before they kill him. He becomes mortal because his soul gets dragged off, and then he kills her, and then she's alive, and then they all go right off with the treasure, and the thing collapses.
There you go.
Sorry, I fucked you in
no,
the end there.
No, you didn't. You were right to do that, but I, like, for some reason, I blanked out on the ending just now.
Here's the thing. I have to get this off my chest because this drove... I fucking love this movie. I think it's super fun, but this is a device that happens... It happened in X-Men Apocalypse. It happens in, I assume, the new Mummy, just from the trailers, and a ton in a lot of movies where Rachel Weisz's character is solely responsible for thousands of people's deaths in this movie.
Yes.
She is entirely responsible. They find the book. Nothing's happened yet. There's been some guys that got burnt by the medieval booby trap, the Egyptian booby trap of the salt acid water or whatever that sure. melts her skin. There's been countless signs saying, don't read this book.
Yep.
The Magi show up. They almost killed them over it. Also, the Magi doesn't really do a great job.
There's so people knowing their roles in this movie is yeah. like a very, very so, confusing balance.
I just want to get these two big points out of the way yeah. first, then we'll get into the plot. Because yeah. because the thing that drove me crazy is like she's warned by the Magi who say, you have one day to leave or else we're coming here to kill all of you because this is an ancient evil you shouldn't mess with. What does she do that night? Fucking reads from the Book of the Dead. It's called yeah. the Book of the Dead.
Yep.
You know? And so she reads from it. The mummy gets unleashed. And the Magi should have just stopped them. That's their job. That's their sacred duty for thousands of years.
Yes.
And they kind of drop the ball. Because they're like, we'll trust you. And it's also a convenient plot device to allow you to read this.
So there's a lot. There were a lot of moments where I was like, you are really testing how much faith I have in this movie right now. Because, yeah. like, so there's definitely that. And then, not to, like, skip all the way ahead, but when Brendan Fraser is fighting, in the last battle, they have the book that can stop the mummy. Like, they're trying to
yeah.
read the spell that can stop the mummy. And they're probably within 20 feet of this mummy, completely unmolested, just like sitting there trying to decipher yeah. an old language. And no, like the mummy is attacking Brendan Fraser,
and he has and other like, mummies that could also
why
attack.
Why isn't anyone attacking the only person that can stop you?
And they also do the thing that they did in Terminator Salvation and every other action movie ever, where there's a strong villain. Where I love when the villain approaches the good guy, picks them up and then tosses them across the room.
Yeah.
And then goes again and tosses them again. And it's like, which is... No bad guy would ever do that. Would be like, haha, I got you finally. Goodbye.
Unless the bad guy is like the neighborhood dog who just like goes and gets
just
toys
fetch.
And then wants someone to
loves
throw
it. Loves playing fetch.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into this from the beginning. So the beginning starts off, and what's funny is that when I first started watching this, my Bluetooth headphones weren't working, and the dialogue wasn't there, and I just saw subtitles and music, and ooh. I was like, this is an interesting choice to do a silent film. And then I was like, oh I just got to reconnect them. Anyway, so the beginning, there's nothing really that crazy, except for the fact that they set up... how they set up the mummy and his curse is our first sound clip. And this is another thing that is wildly confusing to me, why if this guy... was so evil in his life and killed the Pharaoh and was cursed, why would they allow him to be so powerful in death? Why not curse him with... Well, let's play the curse first, and then we can make up other versions of what it should be. Can we play clip number one?
The Magi would never allow him to be released, for he would arise a walking disease, a plague upon mankind, an unholy flesh eater with the strength of ages, power over the sands, and the glory of invincibility.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Power over the sands, a plague on the flesh.
The glory of invincibility.
Glory of invincibility.
The glory of invincibility is my favorite because you're like, I guess everyone is invincible until they're not. So yeah. Like there was also an undoing of the invincibility. So like he's not really invincible.
No,
in
unless
that case.
You read a book.
Right.
But the thing is for me, is it because of the black magic he already practiced or the curse, because they mummified him with those creepy beetles that yeah. ate him alive slowly,
mm-hmm.
which then, ironically, hundreds of them ate him slowly, whilst one kills Middle Eastern Charlie Day.
Instantly.
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 Yep. That scene's creepy as shit, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get into that. But I just thought that was such a weird curse. It's like, maybe it's because of his dabblings in the black magic and the mystical arts. Because I can't imagine them being like, you are bad. We're going to curse you. Or if anybody opens this, the whole world is fucked.
Maybe it's one of those things. Like, this is not an exact parallel, but like, with great power comes great responsibility. Mm-hmm. Like, with such a terrible curse comes such great power if released.
That's
where
that.
I was like sort of negotiating.
I love that this guy sounds like Dracula when he with the great power of invincibility. I mean, sounds like a count. 1, 2, 3.
That's how ancient Egyptians talk.
It's so crazy. That's the dude is, I forget his name. He's in everything. It's probably going to be on the back here. Nope, it's not. He's in like the Resident Evil movies. He's in everything. He's not particularly that good of an actor, but
he just fits everywhere.
He just fits everywhere.
Fits everywhere.
They're just like, yeah,
yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
You can play a Magi.
Well, this is also like, so I sort of zoned out of this whole exposition portion because it was so layered in complication.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, so he's being mummied and then the woman that he was with is also killed and like
almost resurrected but not
and like to resurrect her, like there were just so many stipulations.
Yeah.
And I was like, I hope that this isn't super important to me understanding the rest of the movie.
And then you went, oh fuck.
Oh boy.
It kind of was.
I guess it was.
Oh well. Yeah, that's a lot of movies do that exposition dump where you're like, no.
But it's like it's an exposition dump from a world we're not familiar with,
yeah.
which is the problem. Like
yeah.
if it were just like in 1999, this is what happened, then I'd be like, oh, okay.
Oh, I remember
I sort
1999.
Of get that.
It's like,
Y2K. Yeah.
Y2K happened.
People were freaked out
because they're like, it says it on our zippers. They've known it.
Yeah, my
YKK on the zipper.
My instant messenger is going to screw up my PC. That was an impression, by the way, of 1999.
Was it
people.
Channing Tatum again? Was Channing Tatum here?
Can you?
Yo, man.
Hey, if anyone's interested in my like actual Channing Tatum impression, check out my Instagram because I put it up today.
Nice.
Channing Tatum from Magic Mike. Check it out. I did an impression at Too Much Jesse on Instagram.
I like it.
Personal plug.
I like it. So then we cut to now 1923, present day of this film.
Yeah.
There's a giant battle, like we said. Where the Magi are watching I hope I'm pronouncing that right, and I'm not just saying it wrong every time. Then I'll feel like an idiot. Whatever. It's a made-up group of people. So they're watching over as this battle happens around this sacred city that's supposed to be impossible to find, but there's hundreds of people.
Everyone keeps finding.
Fighting around it.
Yeah.
The general runs off, and Benny, who is just a cut-up in this,
oh boy,
turns to Brendan Fraser and says, can we play clip number two? Promoted. Oh, sorry. Play it again.
You just got promoted.
I don't know what accent he's doing.
You just got promoted.
Oh, he's doing a weasel accent.
He's doing it. He's in a lot of movies, and I forgot to look up what else he's been in. Can we look up what else Benny from The Mummy has been in? It's pretty good accent that I'm doing right
now. I'm trying to place what you're doing. It's almost, similar to Benny.
It's almost Borat. It's between Benny and a little bit of Borat.
It's like a very effeminate Borat is what you're doing. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, anyways, Benny's kind of like this total weasel, and Brendan Fraser gets promoted because he's the next in line, and they have this moment of like, Braveheart moment, like, hold, steady, fire! And then he gets chased off by everybody to this area where tremors attack him, basically, in the sand.
Right.
There's a bunch of, like, sand bursts. And then as he runs off, he conveniently misses the face of the mummy, which, if he's entombed, how is his face...
Right.
I don't know. It's still cool looking.
It's a lot of it is cool looking, but like what? Like even the ripples were like what? What
I don't,
is that
I don't
from?
Understand the rules, but yeah. I like it.
And also like Brendan Fraser was like it seemed like they were defending.
Yeah.
Because they were being attacked.
Maybe they just got chased over that way?
I guess.
I have no backstory.
Yeah, it was... So, again, like, no. I was like, I hope this isn't important.
So we already talked at length how Rachel Weisz pulls a Chevy... I call it the Chevy Chase from Christmas Vacation when he's on the ladder and he does the whoop, 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 and, like, tries to kick back from the tree.
Yep.
She basically does a mean Chevy Chase, only she looks way cuter than Chevy Chase. Let me be...
Sorry,
she
Chevy.
She is adorable in this movie.
Chevy or Chevy? What do you think?
I like Chevy.
Chevy Chase.
Chevy Chase.
Chevy Chase.
I think it's Chevy Chase, Chevy actually. Rachel Weisz is... And she's adorable in this movie.
Yeah,
She's beautiful she's in lovely. General, but she is super cute. And she plays that kind of book nerd damsel in distress really well to a comedic degree, but never going to an annoying place for me.
Yeah.
And she's just a lovely actress. I think she's awesome.
And just...
she's lovely.
Just to be fair about how we're talking about the two leads, we had a discussion before we started about Brendan Fraser, and we concluded what?
Yeah. Well, that's what I was trying to think. While I was watching Brendan Fraser, just in completely... objective opinion. I was trying to be like, is he attractive or not?
Yeah, and I concluded that he was.
I think so.
I'm pretty sure.
I can see the appeal.
Yeah, when I was younger, and this is part of the reason I didn't see The Mummy in the first place, I didn't love Brendan Fraser as a performer.
Yeah.
But I'm totally turned on Brendan Fraser.
I understand why for this specific kind of movie, he hit a stride with this
sure
for
did.
A while.
Yeah.
He did like 10 years of movies like this, and then who knows?
Like exactly like
exactly.
this.
Exactly,
he did several sequels to this.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He did two more, yeah. yeah.
Uh-huh.
So let's keep going. We have, I always put Brent... They always put Encino Man. We talked about how, when they hang him, Middle Eastern Charlie Day, or when Egyptian Charlie Day is what I'm going to call him, when Egyptian Charlie Day, I wish I pulled a sound clip. He sounds just like Charlie Day with an accent. It's like if Charlie Day did a little bit of an accent, and then he just yells a lot. It's the worst impression.
The accent work on today's show is impeccable.
I don't know. My Charlie Day impression sounded more like a Sesame Street character on meth. So anyways, holy shit. Like I said, this show's barely a show. We got 23 minutes left, and we're on minute 10. When he gets hung, first of all, he falls like... 13 feet.
At least
one like story of a building or two.
For sure is dead at that
and
point.
And I think they even go, he has a strong neck!
Yeah.
It's Charlie Day. Egyptian Charlie. I'm going to put that on my voicemail. When hello, you've reached Ben! Anyway.
I was like, I think I reached the wrong Ben.
That's the worst impression ever. Fuck, I should have just pulled his voice as a sound clip.
I think I reached Charlie Day pretending to be Ben.
So, anyway.
Is Charlie Day doing a Ben impression?
So he's hanging forever. He's hanging for way longer than any person. A, his neck would have snapped.
Yeah.
Whatever. He gets freed. They go. There's a little bit of a romantic tension, which they play really well in this. That's
pretty
fun.
Funny.
That fun. I need more of that in movies nowadays. I think that's a great. I think actually Wonder Woman had great romantic tension between Wonder Woman and Steve Trevor.
Yeah.
And
I was just going
to
say
it has to be earned, and I think this movie earns that romantic tension.
It does. Like the only moment where I was like, "This seems out of place," was when Brendan Fraser like trips over himself to like. There was one moment in the middle where he's like, "Oh, I."
It's when
I got
she comes out
and,
when she comes out in like the garb. It's like his kryptonite is the traditional Egyptian garb. He's like, "Oh,
yeah, it's like, he's all of a sudden like 12 years old and embraces again, and it's like, what the fuck just happened to Brendan Fraser?
It's super
weird.
I
had convinced myself he was handsome, and now I'm like,
came out of
on
nowhere.
Yeah,
it made no sense. So then they get on this boat and they're gonna go, and there's these Americans there as well with this very British man who wants to also find the Book of the Dead, and then Benny shows up, and can we play clip number 3, please?
My little buddy Benny.
Okay, I hear
well,
that.
If it ain't my little buddy Benny.
You know, that when I first heard that, it made me kind of have a little post-traumatic stress.
Yeah.
Because I was severely picked on when I was a kid. Mm. And this guy whose name rhymes with Schmishmambi.
You know who you are.
You know who you are, Schmishmambi.
Thanks for listening to the podcast.
Yeah,
appreciate
I mean,
it.
We're cool now that he listens to my podcast. But in seventh grade, he used to pick on me a ton. And he would kind of, he would make me feel lesser than by calling me Little Benny and stuff like that. And like, I was like, my name's Ben.
Yeah.
It's not Little Benny. And I remember one time he slammed me up against a locker and he said,
"Well, if it ain't my little buddy Benny."
And I'm like, don't use buddy ironically.
Come on.
We're not buddies.
Yeah.
And why do I have to be little? I was like the same height as him.
Come on.
Schmishmambi.
Schmishmambi.
You fucking dick.
You motherfucker. So I was...
There was a real bully whose name does rhyme with Schmishmambi.
Yeah, I believe it.
That's a true story.
I took an Italian class over the summer once, and I, like, couldn't get it. I'm just the worst at other languages. But I had, like, sat down and tried to memorize all the words that we were going to be tested on, and the only one that I could remember was B-E-N-E, which I'm pretty sure is either good or beautiful or something like that.
Bene?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's exactly it.
Oh, yeah.
And so then we got the test, our vocab test, and they had chosen just 3 words for us to translate.
Ah.
And I guessed on 2, and then the third one was B-E-N-E, and I was like,
"Well, if it ain't my little buddy Benny."
And they're like, "That's not how you pronounce it, man. That's..."
And they're like, "We're taking that point back from you. We're taking that point back from you."
They're like, the accent work on this test is impeccable.
So this is where we have a moment where the Magi show up. God, I hope... fuck it. Just troll me if I'm pronouncing it wrong. Whatever. They show up and they just start straight murdering people.
Yeah.
And then getting murdered themselves. So again, they're willing to flat out murder people before they get there.
Right.
But then once they get there, they're like, "We give you one day by the fire."
So this was weird. Like when they got there, they still attacked them. But Brendan Fraser, is this where he got the dynamite? And they were like, "Oh."
Yeah. And he pulled the wick out and he's like, "All right, forget it for now."
Yeah.
And it's like, wait. What?
I guess dynamite.
You guys are thousands of your generations of you. So really, as much as it is Rachel Weisz's fault, it's really main dude from the Magi's fault who dropped the ball.
I was also curious about what they did for a living.
Yeah.
Because they spent a lot of time defending the city, but like...
What else did they do?
There wasn't anyone else in the city, so like...
How do they get food?
How do they get food and...
There's a lot of things.
Necessities.
So when all hell's breaking loose, and Brendan Fraser's full on... He double barrels like John Woo style this whole time.
Yeah, he does it a lot.
And his guns have clearly 6 bullets in them, but he never reloads. He has he's blessed with the power of infinite bullets.
Yeah.
I fucked that up.
No, but my favorite part of his guns, so a couple things. One, when he's done with them, he just throws them. He doesn't reholster them.
Costco back then of just guns. He's just like, "I get these on wholesale.
I definitely can't acquire bullets independent of guns, so I'm just going to get rid of this gun."
He just buys the guns.
He
doesn't know how to load guns.
Yeah. So that's his weakness. And then the other thing, what I was going to pull, the sound clip that I was going to pull, but I couldn't because shout out to Vudu for not being able to restore my video.
Oh, dear.
They were warned early on, you can't shoot these mummies.
Yeah.
and they repeatedly try and shoot the mummies.
Just waste those preloaded guns. Yeah.
And there was one clip where someone just unloaded, I think it was the brother, unloaded two revolvers and then just like clicked blanks for like way longer than anyone should have ever done.
Oh no, it was the one American guy who gets killed. Yeah, the second American dude gets killed.
And it's just like click, 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 click. It's like, okay, like you're out, man.
You're out, you're out.
Yeah, just...
It's fine.
Just wave the white flag here.
So while these Magi are attacking, we have the Americans going gun crazy. And can we play clip number four? And the British man looks at him. And the British guy looks at him and goes, Americans.
Americans.
Which I'm pretty sure right now, given the climate of our country and politics and anything Trump tweets and... anything about gun control right now, this is pretty much a clip from Fox News. Can we play it again? Because I'm pretty sure I played Fox News when they were interviewing a BBC reporter, and this is what happened. They were actually showing a video from a Trump rally where he had a rally at a firing range. And they all just went nuts.
That's even if it wasn't specifically at a firing range, they're all considered at a firing range.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Shots fired at every range with him. Indeed. So, anyways, moving on from that, there's not much more we could do with that one. The boat blows up.
Yep.
It gets caught on fire, blows up. They swim ashore. I should have pulled this clip where he said, Benny, you're on the wrong side of the river. Yeah. He really drags out that R. It's fantastic.
Well, because Benny yells at him, looks like I got all the horses.
Looks like you're on the wrong side of the river. Yeah. It's like, well, just cross it. Yeah. You all already... It's fine.
You just spent a lot of time in the water. It's
yeah.
Fine. You guys are all capable swimmers.
I put again... Egyptian Charlie Day. Well, so when they get to the tombs, the camels run faster than the horses. Makes no sense, but it's amazing. Those are the fastest fucking camels
fastest
I've ever
camels
seen.
Alive.
Egyptian Charlie Day gets stoked on these blue, like what looks like beetle medallions, until one of them drops in the sand and awakens, crawls up his foot under his flesh, and into his brain, and then he comes running out and smashes his head so hard against the wall he dies. I remember as a young, you know, high school lad, that freaking me out a little bit. That was kind of disgusting.
I can see why.
And nobody wants to, even Egyptian, he was like, hey, it's in my head. I am Egyptian Charlie Day. It's good. Good. It never gets old.
So here's how Channing Tatum would have said it.
Yeah.
Man, it's in my head.
Man,
nailed it. Nailed it.
Oh, and I love the fact that everything happens conveniently in this movie, but don't get me wrong. I'm bagging on it because it's fucking hilarious, and it's a perfect campy movie. But they find the book pretty easy.
Yeah.
The sarcophagus just falls in their lap when they're digging around. And then the whole thing where the Magi come in. We already talked about how he pulls a stick of dynamite out, and then they leave, and then they still keep fucking around with the tomb, and it opens up, and the mummy comes out, which is going to be Imhotep. Can we play clip number 5?
Look like that? No, I've never seen a mummy look like this before. He's still juicy.
Yes. Look how they land on the same word.
Yeah, jinx. We both are thinking juicy.
Yo, me a Coke.
He is pretty juicy.
Yeah.
He's pretty juicy, you know.
I mean, it's accurate.
He's a juicy corpse. So then she opens a book and reads from it, which we already talked about is the major flaw of where it's like, no! All these thousands of people, the plagues, everything is your fault now.
So they're
own up to it.
I might just be ignorant.
Let me know if we have any more time than 13 minutes. If not, it's okay.
I might just be ignorant in saying this, but like she's reading hieroglyphics, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those translate to Egyptian word. Like how aren't they just images? And can't you just translate them to any language?
I guess so. Yeah.
So I don't. Maybe that's just. I don't know. I might just be stupid. Because she's reading it in a different language.
Now we're just... This is the rabbit hole that I'm not willing to go down.
Yeah.
I can't even... there's too many layers to this.
Yeah.
It's hurting
my
head
a little bit. It's a very layered film.
I want to Egyptian Charlie Day my head against the wall. So now the mummy awakes. And all hell breaks loose. They come face to face with the mummy. And I love that the mummy screams, and we get one of the first of Brendan Fraser's scream back, mm-hmm. where he's like, "Ah!" It's pretty. That's a better impression than the Egyptian Charlie Day.
It's not bad.
Then he shoots him in the face, and he's like, "I killed it. Okay, I killed the mummy. Don't worry, I killed it." And the head Magi guy is like, "A, probably thinking, fuck, we probably should have killed these dudes and not let them stay one more night,
right?
When they were already so close to the tomb that we knew about." And then he tells him that they're in big trouble because play clip number 6, please.
Now this creature is the bringer of death. He will never eat. He will never sleep. He will never stop.
It's weird because I actually saw some leaked Trump 2020 election material.
Yeah.
And his new campaign, instead of Make America Great Again, because we've pretty much given up on that premise.
Because we did it. We made America great.
It's great.
Success.
Success.
Yeah.
It's actually a little bit more ominous. And weirdly, it's Steve Bannon that does the voiceover in kind of like a Dracula voice.
Oh.
And it's oddly, I think they just ripped off the mummy because I heard it the other day and it was this.
Now this creature is the bringer of death. He will never eat.
He eats a lot.
Never sleep.
Yeah.
He will never stop.
That's true.
It's funny you should say.
One out of three ain't bad.
That's Hall of Fame baseball career. You mentioned Steve Bannon, which is great because I at a press conference recently, Steve Bannon was asked to do a Charlie Day impression, and he gave us this.
Now this. This creature is
which
the
one were you going
death.
For?
That's the one. It's like, this isn't even close to Charlie Day. Steve Bannon.
You'll never stop.
Steve Bannon's terrible at impressions. I think we can all agree on that.
I think we can all agree.
I think swing and a miss.
Your face confused me, though, because I thought you were like, wrong one. And I was like, what the fuck one were you hoping for?
No, that's the one.
That's the one. That's the one.
That was my hopeful face.
So Benny brings his necklace up and he starts praying in different languages, mm-hmm. and then he settles on the language of the slaves, and the mummy's like, I can use you, and then Benny's basically the mummy's bitch for the rest of the movie.
Yep.
They head back to Cairo. They've unleashed this mummy of epic proportions, and so their next best thing is to go back to the most heavily populated city nearby.
Sure.
And try and leave.
Sure.
The mummy stalks them back there, eats one of the guys, starts to fully form again, he sucks him dry. And then Brendan Fraser, you know, understatement of the year. Clip number 7, please.
We are in serious trouble.
Yeah. Yeah.
You are.
Yeah.
You couldn't have seen this one coming. Here's my suggestion for the Magi.
Yeah.
Is, so everyone's coming there to get this treasure, right? You can get to the treasure without unleashing the mummy.
Just let him
get
the treasure.
Just let him get the treasure. Just like cone off the mummy part.
Yeah, just like put like a hazard.
You know,
ancient
like museums
spirit.
Put up things that are like, do not touch the art.
Yeah.
Just, you know, don't touch the book and just go get the treasure.
Everything else is fine, guys.
Because they couldn't give a fuck about the treasure.
There's
they were just like
a plethora. It's just those bookworms. Rachel Weisz and British dude really wanted that book.
I wonder what sort of like strength of signal that book had. Like if you took the book back to Cairo and read.
I think no matter what.
It would have awoken the mummy?
I think so.
Damn.
I wonder if you took it back to like the United States if it would still awaken.
Americans.
So then he says, I don't think I pulled that. Oh, yeah, here we go. So we find out that he's afraid of cats. He disappears. They realize that Rachel Weisz is going to be sacrificed. They go rescue an Egyptologist. All this stuff happens. Whatever. He chucks a chair at Benny. We're skipping around because we just fucked ourselves with time. Because, like I said, we're barely a show.
But we are a show.
We are a show. The mummy, Imhotep shows up and vomits locusts on everybody. Fucking balls of fire come down.
Yeah.
A plague of locusts. Feasibly thousands of people are murdered in these plagues and fireballs. And no one at any point confronts Rachel Weisz like, hey, this is your fault.
You did this to
us. You did all of this.
You did this. I would really like to know where the Cairo police were.
Nowhere to
right?
be found.
Where, that's, maybe there's a backup.
Maybe.
And also the Cairo news trucks. Like,
yeah, where's the Cairo news?
No one's interested in Cairo. I need the people of Cairo to be more involved.
Step it up.
Yeah.
But so now when and this is also funny how like the mummy, he likes to just show off.
Yeah.
Because when Rachel is sleeping, I like to call her Rachel. You know, we're first name basis.
Yeah.
And I'm just paranoid that I'm pronouncing Vice wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's with a Vice.
It depends on if you're reading the hieroglyphics in which language you're reading.
I'm going to call her R.W. from here on out.
R-Dubs.
R-Dubs.
Yeah.
When he goes to see R-Dubs, instead of kicking the door open or bursting it open, he turns into sand and sneaks in through the keyhole, that sneaky little devil.
Yep.
His powers seem limitless. Like, he just keeps getting stronger and stronger, and he can just fucking show off.
He does anything.
Vomit locusts, turn into sand, kiss her, and his face kind of melts, and then Brendan Fraser busts in and saves the day by really insulting his looks. Can we play clip number 8?
Hey, get your ugly face off of her!
Come on.
Look what I got.
He had a cat.
My favorite part at the end of there is it's just how Brendan Fraser delivers that line. He's like, look what I got. And then the mummy goes, and the cat goes, and then the mummy. It's always, this is a screaming match movie where it's like, can you top this scream?
That's the only way to deal with someone screaming in your face is to just scream right back at them.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, if you ever get like confronted by somebody, be crazier than them. Always. I guess, right?
Yeah.
And then we learn that cats are they watch over the underworld. So that's why
this was another
just
like,
it was like a thrown in line. Like,
yeah, like we need something to be able to scare this all powerful mummy. Yeah. Why not cats?
You know, it's weird though that I react very similarly to cats, but I'm just super allergic. That's why. So I'm just kind of like, and that's just because my lungs are closing up and I need an EpiPen. I'm killing it with these impressions.
You truly are. Like, that was an impression of you. Yeah. Yep. Let me do an impression of what I sound like.
Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't going to do it. I was just saying.
Oh, I was
that
ready.
Was my impression of you.
Oh, okay.
Doing an impression of
I
you.
I like it. That was very meta.
I can do it, though. Here we go. Ready?
There we go. Look at that. Look at that. What are we doing today? So they have to find the gold book because the Book of the Dead brings him back.
Right.
And the gold book, whatever, I forget what it's called, kills him. And conveniently, it's at the exact same place, just in a different tomb. It's not like they have to go somewhere else.
What if they had accidentally gotten the gold book first? Would they have like extra killed him? Do you think maybe?
Yeah. They should have really researched this a little bit more.
They should have. I mean,
there's hundreds of dudes that show up with boils, and now they are the slaves of Imhotep, and they full on shoot the shit out of so many of them, bullets riddled. They at one point drive the car and mow them down. These are all innocent people who have been possessed by Imhotep.
Yeah, this is like from The Faculty, right? Where like they were just killing the aliens, but like you're actually killing those people.
Super weird. Yeah. I just wanna, like, I wanted an epilogue scene that would have been super fucking dark where Brendan Fraser and R-Dubs and worst magi ever roll back into Cairo like, hey, we saved you guys, and it's just like the women and children going like, but you murdered all our fathers and husbands, like, you're terrible people. And they're like, just, whoops.
Just like the mummy, whoops. 2 is them going from funeral to funeral to funeral.
That's so fucked up, but it's true. It's true. Like, they murder. It's not like when he goes back and his soul gets taken off by the blue ghost carriage.
Yep.
It's not like they get magically reborn.
No.
Show us that. Show us that. Please. They get. Because otherwise, as much fun as I have with this movie, I'm thinking of the hundreds of families without.
Well, to be fair, all fathers. They have to do is find what I'm sure is the bronze book.
Yeah, the bronze book.
To
yep.
bring these people yep. back to life.
Yep.
And I'm sure they'll have extra
it's
powers.
It's fine. It's in a deleted scene.
You know?
Oh, my God. So then they drive off, and Benny shows up again, this little bitch Benny. And clip number 9, can we play that? This is Brendan Fraser really telling Benny he's going to get his.
You're going to get yours, Benny! You hear me? You're going to get yours!
Like I've never heard that before.
It's weird because I just, when you weren't looking, I checked my phone and I got trolled by Schmishmambi.
Son of a bitch.
Schmishmambi was super mad that I just put him on blast, as the kids say these days.
Did you say it?
And
lit him up.
He literally tweeted at me. This, play clip number 9.
We're going to get yours, Benny. You hear me?
And then I
replied,
like I've never heard that before. And I just kind of solidified why I deserve to be picked on.
Yeah, then. You said it, and then you immediately had self-reflection of like, fuck, this is why.
Damn it.
This is the reason.
Yep, yep.
I see. I understand, Schmish.
Rachel, R-Dubs gets taken because he's like, I'll spare you. Doesn't really spare. And then as soon as she walks off, of course he goes, kill them. Which, again, in movies, when the main villain is just like, I don't care to actually kill you.
Yeah.
That's not his accent at all. And by the way, he's not an ugly face. He's actually a pretty, pretty mummy. He's got like very, like, you know, he's got very soft features.
He's got like, there was that hole in his face, which was like
not his fault.
The main issue.
He wasn't fully formed yet.
Right.
So then.
But that's like, for a serious moment, that's body shaming.
Yeah.
It is. I just want to put that out there. Right. Brendan Fraser, not cool, dude.
Not cool, dude. He hadn't fully formed yet.
Yeah.
The more you know.
He's still, still mummified.
Now we have Brendan Fraser giving Imhotep a little run for his money, saying, hey, it's kind of like the I'll Be Seeing You again within like 3 minutes of itself. Mm-hmm. As Imhotep walks off with our dubs, Brendan Fraser looks at him and says, clip number 10, please.
I'll be seeing you again.
It's weird because I realize the intensity of that delivery. Back in the day, I was on a date with a girl that I met at Tokyo Delves, this rock and roll sushi bar I used to work at. And I hit on her while I was waiting on her, and we hit it off. I took her to this Italian restaurant. And right before I dropped her off at the end of the night, instead of giving her a kiss, because I thought I'd be like romantic and mysterious, I just looked at her and I said,
I'll be seeing you again.
And that restraining order, I'm pretty sure, is still active.
That's a tough one to deal with.
You know, it was the not blinking thing that really... The just full on, I'll be seeing you again. That was just kind of weird.
Just the dead stare.
The dead stare.
Yeah.
It's like I looked through her like she was one of those 3D paintings that you're supposed to unfocus.
The magic eye?
Yeah. The magi?
The magi guy.
Magi guy?
I think the other problem with that was that you then held that pose until she went inside.
Yeah, super weird.
Because you like didn't have a plan B. You were just like, here I am.
Super weird.
Yeah.
It's my fault. It's my fault.
That's all right.
So then they go, she gets taken away. They murder the hell out of a bunch more innocent people. Mm-hmm. Who are just possessed.
Yeah, to be fair, we don't know if they're innocent. In the moment, they were innocent, but they probably did something shitty at some point in their lives.
I'm sure they did something shitty.
You know, karma.
Karma, exactly. Karma comes in the way of being possessed by boils.
Yeah.
So then they go find his British general, who really just wants to die in battle. And he literally serves to just have a cameo to fulfill exactly what they say in this clip. Can we play clip number 11?
Is it dangerous?
Well, you probably won't live through it.
Joe. Do you really think so?
Well, everybody else we bumped into has died. Why not you?
What's the challenge then?
Rescue the damsel in distress, kill the bad guy, and save the world.
Oh, ha ha ha! Winston Havelock, at your service, sir.
And he pretty much ends up doing
that. He doesn't really save the world. Like, he kind of does, I guess. But
he takes him on a plane over there.
He contributes.
They get there faster because of him.
They should have taken the camel. They would have gotten there real fast.
Yeah, they're flying the plane. The giant, the mummy makes a giant sand face mummy. Which, by the way, all the special effects in this movie still work.
Like, pretty cool.
They're really cool.
Yeah.
And the mummy is eating the plane. And then Rachel, R. Dubs, takes Imhotep and makes out with him. And he's distracted for a minute because he's got his mummy boner on. And he's like, this hasn't happened in a while. And then he turns back and he's like, no. They crash.
Here's the problem with the crash.
British dude dies.
Is there were two people hanging onto the wings.
They
right?
live.
They lived. The other people in the plane live. Only the pilot dies.
It's just because they didn't want to have to bring him. He had a really strict contract.
I sort of feel like he took some sort of arsenic or something and was just
well,
like,
fuck it.
I'm going to die no matter what.
Do we have any more time than a minute and 47 seconds or is that it?
We've already squeezed.
Did we squeeze?
Oh.
Unfortunately, that's it.
Fuck
that's
me. It. All right. Okay, here, we're going to keep going.
I can't fuck you. We only have a minute, 40 seconds.
So then there's all this awesome stuff that happens in the end. Imhotep awakens his dead lover. There's a creepy awesomeness of the wife coming back and kind of these cool horror moments. There's these awesome battles with the zombies where I love the stuff where he, like, Brendan Fraser swings back and hits the head of one zombie. It pulls the head off and slams it into another.
Yeah.
When he cuts the legs off of the one and the tomb he was about to crush Brendan Fraser with crushes him. There's great stuff. We don't need to get into all the minutia of the battle scene because it's awesome. And we already talked about how he tosses him like 700 times. And anyways, in the very end, we already talked about how they all get away except everyone. Well, everyone dies
everyone
except
dies.
The Magi. Benny dies. R. Dubs lives. And Brendan Fraser. And they have Benny's treasure on his horse because he went back for more treasure. And it's like, ooh, good for you guys. You contributed to the murder of hundreds of people, but you get treasure.
Treasure.
You win.
Good things happen to those who do bad
things. Who awaken the dead.
Yeah.
There's so much awesomeness in this. The beetle crawling up of... of Jonathan's skin, mm-hmm. and then they cut it out. Just why? If you haven't seen this movie in a while, just watch the third act. Watch the whole thing. But the third act is chock full of amazing action. That's one thing I know we've been ripping on ridiculousness of this movie because that's what we do. But the action in this movie is really fun.
It's great.
It's top notch. It's super badass, mm-hmm. and just it's just got a fun kind of Indiana Jones adventure feel to it. Can we play clip number 12? Because this is how I feel about this movie as it kept going on.
This just keeps getting better and better.
That's exactly how I felt. As each new sequence happened, I was like, this just keeps getting better and better.
It's just trying to top itself.
And now this is the final clip we'll have because we ran out of time because we bullshitted too much at the top about God knows what. This is the scream-off between Brendan Fraser and the warrior mummies that come out of the walls. Can we play clip number 13?
That's Brendan Fraser. That's the mummy.
My favorite thing is at the end. And you know, I actually think that it's similar to the new mummy, actually, because I believe that that Tom Cruise is the first one yelling, the second one is the female mummy, and then the third one is every audience member.
Or everyone standing right outside the theater, looking in, seeing no one there, and just going like,
Now, I know we tease this movie a lot, because there's some ridiculous stuff in it, but holy hell, this is a fun movie, and if we didn't make that abundantly clear, we are sorry to Brendan Fraser. We love this movie. I had a blast. I think it's super fun. It's ridiculous, but in all the right ways. I will easily watch this again. Maybe not the new mummy.
Yep.
But that's fine. Until next time, where can they find you?
You can find me at Schmishmambi on Twitter. No.
Perfect.
At Too Much Jesse, Twitter and Instagram for a sketch at The Prom Losers.
Yeah, you can find me at The Ben Begley on Twitter and Instagram. And until next time, we'll figure out something. We don't know what, but it'll be happening. So let us know if you see the mummy. Let me know if we should go check it out. Convince me on Twitter, please. Let us know what you think of this.
Let me know if you see Pixels.
Many sequels. Until next time. What is your guilty movie pleasure?
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.